Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Sam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, Text 2. Pravritti, Pravritti Lakshanas Cheva. Tregunya Vishayo Muni Yosavalina Prakrite Gunasaga Puna Puna Pravri. O great sage Sukadeva Goswami, unless the living entity is freed from the infection of the material modes of nature, he receives different types of bodies in which to enjoy or suffer. And according to the body, he is understood to have various inclinations. By following these inclinations, he traverses the path called Pravritti Marg, by which one may be elevated to the heavenly planets, as you have already described in the third canto. Please repeat. O great sage Sukadeva Goswami.
O great
sage Sukadeva Goswami. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. As Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25, Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti priti vrata bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. Because of the influence of the various modes of nature, the living entities have various tendencies or propensities, and therefore they are qualified to achieve various destinations. As long as one is materially attached, he wants to be elevated to the heavenly planets because of his attraction to the material world. The Supreme Personality of Godhead declares, however, those who worship me come to me. If one has no information about the Supreme Lord and his abode, one tries to be elevated only to the higher material position. But when one concludes that in this material world there is nothing but repeated birth and death, he tries to return home back to Godhead. If one attains that destination, he need never return to this material world. Yad gatvana nivatante taddama paramamama. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Brahmanda brahmite kona bhagyavan jiva Guru Krishna prasade paya bhakti lata bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down to the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. All living entities are rotating throughout the universe, going sometimes up to the higher planetary systems and sometimes down to the lower planets. This is the material disease which is known as Pravritti Marg. When one becomes intelligent, he takes to Nivritti Marg, path of liberation. Thus, instead of rotating within this material world, he returns home back to Godhead. This is necessary. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sava Shastra Hoy, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sava Siddhi Hoy. By associating with the sadhu, lava, just for a very short period of time. A lava is less than a second, actually. Then one can attain all perfections. This is the greatest benediction, to get the association of a great devotee. I remember being with Prabhupada at Kumbh Mela, 1977. And Prabhupada was giving the lecture. Actually, at that time, Prabhupada had just started to become a little sick. It was just before Mayapur festival, January, February, 1977. And so Prabhupada was mostly staying in his tent. We were all camping in tents, Kumbh Mela. But Prabhupada in his lecture, of course, Kumbh Mela is a special time when you have to take a bath. It's some special time in the early morning on a particular day. There's a couple of days, especially the full moon and the new moon, when if you take bath at that moment, the nectar is falling of immortality. It's very auspicious. You almost guaranteed liberation if you take bath at the right time. But Prabhupada was emphasizing in his lecture that actually that's not the main reason for going to a holy place. It's not the main reason for going to a holy place. The main reason to go to a holy place is to get association of devotees, to get association of sadhus. This is the most valuable thing in the holy place, is actually the association of devotee, because association of pure devotee is so powerful. The living entity is called Savaga. One of the quality of the living entity, he wants to go everywhere. He wants to see everything. He's curious. Just like people nowadays, especially people like to travel everywhere. And if a place is very far, they think it must be wonderful. I mean, I was just in Thailand, and they got some special prize in the competition. It's a free trip to London. You know, and I come from London. To me, London is hell, you know. London is the biggest hell. But in Thailand, they're all thinking, this must be the most wonderful place. Because it's the most, it's far away. They've never been there. So they say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence, you know, as a saying in English. We always think the grass must be better on the other side of the fence. Because we're suffering here, we think, oh, over there we must be able to enjoy. Now, especially when we hear descriptions of heavenly planets, just like nowadays we have this phenomena of suicide bomber. In Prabhupada's time, they had not invented that yet. You used to be able to get on the aeroplane with no security check and just go. But ever since terrorism, everything changed. So now we have suicide bomber. He's so convinced about the descriptions of heavenly planets and 27 brides and gardens of pleasure that he's willing to blow himself to pieces. He's so convinced it must be better in heaven. So this is the nature of the living entities. He's desiring to go somewhere where he thinks there'll be only pleasure and no pain. But unfortunately, such a place does not exist within the material world. Every pleasure has got its downside. Because as soon as you become familiar with a thing, it no longer gives the same pleasure. Just like if a man is in the jail for 30 years, and one day he's released from the jail, and he's walking just here down the road. He's getting the highest bliss just walking down the road. We can walk down the same road and we don't feel any bliss. there's no bliss at all. It's just an ordinary road. But the man who's come out of the jail, he's in the highest bliss just to walk down the road because he's been denied that pleasure. So therefore, the real way to derive pleasure was explained by Lord Rishabdev. Tapo divyam putraka yena sadvam shudyadyasmad brahma sakam tvanam tam. Pleasure is not really attained by going everywhere or trying to go to heavenly planets. Pleasure is attained by reaching the platform of brahma-sokyam, transcendent spiritual pleasure, the pleasure of the soul. The natural condition of the soul is to be blissful. It is only because we have got this infection, as it's mentioned in the word, we've got this disease of the modes of material nature, that we're not experiencing a brahma-sokyam. So just like when you get stomach disease, the best cure is to fast, to not eat for 1 or 2 days. It's one of the, but usually for many, many sickness actually, if you see the animals, when they get sick, what they do is they fast. You can cure most sicknesses just by fasting. So in the same way, by tapasya, you can cure the infection of the material modes. And you can again experience brahma-sokyam. But even this brahma-sokyam does not compare to the pleasure of associating with the pure devotee and prema-bhakti. Prema-bhakti is beyond brahma-sokyam. Brahma-sokyam is only just the beginning. So, probably most devotees are interested to hear about Prabhupada. I was lucky because I joined in Vrindavan. I only joined in January 1975. I started chanting in 74, but I didn't meet devotees, but I had got one of Prabhupada's books. And I had heard Hare Krishna mantra because the devotees had recorded that song with George Harrison. So I was already doing meditation and yoga and hatha yoga. And in my meditation, I thought, well, I need a mantra. So the only mantra I'd ever heard was Hare Krishna mantra. I didn't know about any other mantra. So I thought, I'll use Hare Krishna mantra. So I'd already started to chant Hare Krishna mantra. And I was chanting in my mind, like what they call manasa japa. I started doing it 3 times a day, but then it became continuous. And I decided to go to India. So I hadn't met devotees, but I traveled overland to India. And I was going to the Himalayas for meditation. I'd been doing hatha yoga system. And I thought, somewhere in the Himalayas, there's a place called Nirvana. It's like, we're always thinking, there must be some wonderful place. Well, I had seen a movie, I forget what it was called, but it was about a valley in the Himalayas, a secret valley in the Himalayas, which is leading into heaven, you know, called Nirvana. There was a movie like that. It comes from some Tibetan mythology. So I was looking for Nirvana. And I was in Rishikesh. And I was going to go up into the Himalayas. I didn't know where I was going. I had only come to India with enough money to come. I had no money to go back. I had just enough money to come to India because I thought, I'm going to go to Nirvana. I won't need a ticket back. I'm leaving. I'm going to find this Nirvana. Because I thought, you have to be very determined. I thought, if I have the money for a ticket back, I won't find Nirvana. I have to throw everything. Just like sometimes People take this drug LSD, they think they can jump off the cliff and fly. So I was thinking, great determination, I'm going to find nirvana. But I knew you have to have guru, but I didn't know how to find guru. But anyway, I was in Rishikesh. Meanwhile, in my mind is going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. My mind is chanting Hare Krishna all the time. So I was in Rishikesh for about 1 week, and then I was going to go the next day. Next day I was going to leave. I thought I'll just walk up into the mountains with nothing. I had no money left, and I'll find nirvana. I just had a few rupees left. Anyway, one day I was walking along the road, and suddenly these sadhus came by chanting Hare Krishna. It was not ISKCON, it was, I think, Ramanuja Sampradaya. It was some other Sampradaya, but they were chanting Hare Krishna. And I thought, oh, that's my song. That's the same mantra. I'll follow them. So I followed them, and they went down by the Ganges, and they were sitting by the Ganges. And so I sat down with them. They had all these big pots, clay pots. Now this time, it was the first time I'd been in India. I'd never tasted all Indian food preparations, like samosa, burfi, laddu, chapati. I'd never tasted anything. Maybe I'd tasted a little rice and dal or something in where I was staying, but it was very simple. But I hadn't tasted all these fantastic preparations. Well, it turned out that these sadhus were having birthday of their guru, and it was a feast. They were carrying this feast. So we were chanting, singing together. I didn't know you could sing this Hare Krishna, I thought. So I was joining in, and then they gave out this prasadam. Oh, I was amazed at all the different food preparations. I was in complete bliss. We were sitting just by the Ganges. So there was all of these sadhus, they were all Indian, except for one Western boy was there. And he had a book like this. And he said, he called me over afterwards. He said, do you have a guru? I said, no. You know, he said, well, I have a book here, it has a picture of every guru. And he had a book with all the different gurus. He had Guru Maharaji, he had Rajneesh, he had Sai Baba, he had, you know, Muktananda. And he said so many gurus he had. And somewhere near the end, he had also a picture of Prabhupada. So I was going through the book, and I went like this, and I was just going through the book, and I saw the picture of Prabhupada. I said, that's a guru. Where does he live? He said, oh, that is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He lives in Vrindavana.
I said, where?
He said, Vrindavana. I thought, that sounds very like Nirvana. I said, this is very close to Nirvana. I said, where is that place? Is it in the Himalayas? He said, oh no, that place you have to go down through Delhi, and you have to go to Mathura. And he said, that is the place where Krishna appeared. I said, Krishna? Oh, that's the same Krishna who's in the mantra. So I thought, that must be the Nirvana. I'll go there. So instead of going to the Himalayas, the next morning I caught the bus back to Delhi. And that night I was in Delhi, and I didn't have enough money to sleep in the hotel, so I was lying on the street. And many people were sleeping on the street. It was India, you know. In India, so many people sleep on the street. If you go to the West, you don't see anybody sleeping on the street. So I was thinking, oh, just see, I become a complete beggar. Now I'm sleeping with the beggars on the street. Just see how unfortunate I'd become. Anyway, next morning, about 4 a.m., I'd heard there was a train early morning, 4 or 5. I went to the train station, and some coolie, he just took me on the train. I said, Mathura. So I got on the train and I arrived in Mathura. And when I got off the train, I thought, I could immediately feel this is a very holy place. You have a feeling of safety. A sudden feeling comes on you as soon as you go to the holy Dham, especially Vrindavan, Mathura. So as soon as I arrived in Mathura, I could feel that I was somewhere very special. And then I caught the bus into Vrindavan. And then I could feel, oh, this even more holy. So many temples. But I didn't know where to go. I just knew I was going to Nirvana. Vrindavana. So I got down from the bus. And then this rickshaw wala was sitting there. Very beautiful young boy with long black hair. Was sitting. Very beautiful rickshaw wala. And when I got off the bus, he just went like this. He says, come. So I got on the back of the rickshaw and he just took off. I didn't say where I was going. I didn't know where I was going. So he drove and he took me to Raman Reti. And then he put me off. And that time there was no Krishna Balaram temple, but there was construction. There was construction site. So many people were going, carrying bricks, all the, you know, Indian construction site, so different from the West. In India, all the ladies are doing all the hard work. I don't know if it's still like that, but that time it was. All the ladies were carrying all the bricks, and it was like a scene, some amazing scene out of the Vedic past, you know. So I was just sitting in front of the temple and looking at this construction site. And suddenly I saw this Western devotee, you know. And he saw me and he came out and he said, what are you doing? So I realized this must be Hare Krishna movement. This must be the movement of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So I just said, oh, I've come to join. So that was the first devotee I ever met. The first word I ever had with a devotee was, I've come to join. And so he said, okay, so that was it. So they took me, shaved me, got me clothes. And that was how I joined. And there was only about 5 to 10 devotees living in the temple at that time. We were all living in the huts in the back. Well, I was very lucky that I joined in Vrindavan because in the last 3 years, Prabhupada spent most time in Vrindavan. He spent more time in Vrindavan than any other place in the last 3 years. In the beginning, he was traveling so much and staying in America. So I was just reading the book yesterday, Bhakti Vikash Swami. He joined same time as me, but he joined in London. And he saw Prabhupada only twice. But because I joined in Vrindavan, I maybe had 100 times I was with Prabhupada. Another good fortune I got was that I became in charge of Sankirtan. I was the first person in charge of the Vrindavan Sankirtan party collection. At that time, there was a big problem with ISKCON temple in Vrindavan because there was not sufficient money to maintain the temple. Many devotees were coming from the West and they were coming tired from preaching. They wanted to have a rest, you know, to come to the holy place. They didn't want to go out collecting money when they came from the West to Vrindavan. They were taking a break. So there were many devotees in Vrindavan, but there was no income. So luckily, I was actually Vrindavan devotee. I wasn't like the other Western devotees who were coming. So I got the service to go out and bring in the money. So that was very lucky for me because Prabhupada thought that was one very nice because everybody was coming and sitting and chanting, but I was going out and bringing in the money, doing the collection. So I got a special mercy from Prabhupada. Of course, I was not doing anything more than everybody else was already doing in their temple. But because I joined in Vrindavan, it was looking like I was more special. So then when I used to come back to the temple, I was able to go and see Srila Prabhupada. The GBC would arrange. Prabhupada would preach to me alone, 2-3 times. And then another good luck that I got was that we only had one car in Vrindavan. We had Sankirtan car. And I was in charge of that car. So if Prabhupada wanted to go somewhere, I would get the job of driving. So then this became very, very big luck for me, because every morning I would drive Prabhupada for his walk. And sometimes only me and Prabhupada would go. And we'd go into the Prabhupada liked to go just into the forest, away from the road, just walking through the bushes. Prabhupada liked to go there. So he wouldn't be disturbed. He could be in his transcendental mood of Vrindavan. So I was going walking with Prabhupada. Sometimes different leaders from the movement would be coming. And so I got to hear Prabhupada preaching to the different leaders, one by one. Every morning, different one. Different GBC, different sannyasi. And I heard Prabhupada, different moods of Prabhupada, fierce preaching sometimes. One time Adi Keshava came, and at that time there was this big thing going on about deprogramming. There were some in the West, some parents who were unhappy that their children had become devotees were capturing them and doing deprogramming, and we were being called a cult. This was a big thing. A big court case was going on in New York. So Prabhupada was telling Adi Keshava how to preach in the court. And he was talking very fiercely, very fierce, about how Adi Keshava should talk. I won't repeat it, actually. It's a bit in front of the Matajis and everything. I won't repeat what he said. But it was very bold, fierce preaching. But then on other days, Prabhupada was in a very gentle mood. So this was very, my good fortune was, I got to see Srila Prabhupada in a lot of situations. Prabhupada had the quality of mercy that you'd, very difficult to find that quality. Every day, Prabhupada would open his door, you know, about 4 o'clock, and give darshan in Vrindavan. So actually, anybody could come. Anybody could come in his room. It wasn't difficult to see Srila Prabhupada. You could go in every day. You could have darshan. You could ask questions. Everybody could come. Rickshawwala could come. A beggar from the street. Prabhupada was not restricted. Who can come? He was open to everyone. And Prabhupada was so eager to preach, just like I was saying the other day, this mood you picked up from Prabhupada, the preaching spirit of Prabhupada. I had been preaching in Agra, and one day, one life member who I had made, he suddenly appeared in Vrindavan, and he came into the darshan of Prabhupada, and he said, "Prabhupada, will you come to Agra?" Actually, he lived in a small village near Agra. He said, "Will you come to my village?" Immediately Prabhupada said, "Yes." This was how Prabhupada was. As soon as he heard of opportunity for preaching, he was ready to go. New place for preaching. You know, he wasn't thinking, do you have a nice, comfortable place to stay? Is there a good car? How is the road? He didn't consider anything about his own comfort. He just was immediately, "Yes, we're ready. Let's go." And he did. He went. And after that engagement in the man's house, when Prabhupada came back to the temple, the other devotees were still in a different car, and Prabhupada's room was locked. And Prabhupada could not get into his room late at night. So he had to sit outside his room chanting japa, waiting for the other devotees to come. So this way, Prabhupada takes so much inconvenience for opportunity to preach. This is what we were seeing. the nature of Srila Prabhupada. And another thing that I picked up impression from Srila Prabhupada was just how Prabhupada was concerned about receiving of guests in the temple. He was asking every day about the guest in the temple. Is the guest being received nicely? Are they getting prasadam when they come to the temple? So every day Prabhupada was asking about this. So obviously Prabhupada was getting, towards the end, Prabhupada was getting more and more sick. And actually he was lying down most of the time. This was in 1977. Actually, one time I came with Prabhupada to Bombay. Only one time. But that time, the Bila family was invited. Ashok Bila and the older Bila. They both came. And Prabhupada and I and myself, we served them prasadam. Prabhupada was serving them prasadam. They were sitting down. Just like when you go to Vaishnava family's house in India, the gentleman of the house in the West, if you go for dinner at somebody's house, the gentleman of the house, he sits with you and eats dinner at the table. But in India, the gentleman of the house, he serves the prasadam. He doesn't eat with you. And the wife, they all serve the prasadam. So Prabhupada was doing the same thing. The big Birlas, the richest men in India, most famous men in India, they came and Prabhupada was personally serving. And I was lucky I got the job to help Prabhupada with the serving. So we're seeing Prabhupada personally how he received the guest, you know. Very humbly, very... They were complaining, Prabhupada, Swamiji, you sit down, Swamiji, you sit down. And Prabhupada didn't want to sit down, he wanted to serve the guest. There's such a humble mood. Anyway, Prabhupada in Vrindavan, when he was getting a bit more sick, this was probably about 3-4 months before he disappeared. So one time I came back from Sankirtan, and I had been preaching in a place called Kanauj. And Kanauj is actually where Ajamil, it's on the Ganga. It's down from Kannur. It's a very old, ancient city. And it's the place where they make all these essential oil, fragrant oils, you know. And I'd made all the men who make the fragrant oils, I'd made them life members. So they'd given me some of these oils. And I wasn't sure what to do. I was thinking maybe give them to the deities. Anyway, I had these oils and I had some other things for Prabhupada. I'd come back and I got to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was always very interested to hear about Sankirtan stories, you know. He was very interested to hear about preaching stories. This was the most Prabhupada's preaching spirit. So he was asking me about where I'd been going. And I'd been to a place where Prabhupada had also gone when he first came back to India with his devotees from the West. This place is called Gorakhpur. It's the place where the Gita press. Actually, when Prabhupada first printed Srimad Bhagavatam, one man, Hanuman Prasad Poddar, he'd given a donation. That's how Prabhupada had printed Bhagavatam. It was a donation from the man who started this Gita press in Gorakhpur. So Prabhupada had also gone there. He was actually a very nice man, Hanuman Prasad Poddar. So I had also gone there, but Hanuman Prasad Poddar, he had also already passed away, and his son was there. So I was telling Prabhupada about how we had gone there. And while I was there, I'd heard about, Prabhupada had initiated one Indian doctor. He was actually the first person that Prabhupada initiated from India when he first came back, after starting the movement in the West. And Prabhupada had initiated one doctor. Dr. Rao. I forget his devotee name. But whilst I was there, Hanuman Prasad Potter's son had told me, actually this man, he'd recently died. But the circumstance was that he had been in Amsterdam and he'd been at the ISKCON Center, and he had passed away just after the kirtan, almost passed away in the kirtan. He was chanting very blissfully and he'd had a heart attack and passed away. So I told this story to Prabhupada, and when I told this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada sat up. He was so pleased, interested to hear, and Prabhupada had been lying down 1 week and he sat up. And he said, just see how a Vaishnava, wonderful, a Vaishnava is leaving this world. It's a mercy of Krishna. So it said, you know, what you remember at the time of death, that state you will attain. But actually, for the devotee, there's a special mercy of Krishna. You know? When the devotee leaves the planet, Krishna is arranging special circumstances. So Prabhupada was very interested to hear about this, wanted to know more. And so then he said, have you brought anything? So, well, you know, I had these oils and I didn't know, is it good if you can give these to the guru? I thought probably they meant for the deities, but I didn't know what else. I thought I'll give them to Prabhupada, so I gave the oils to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada started to try these different oils, and actually they're very good quality, you know, different, like jasmine and sandalwood and rose oil and all the, about six different ones, very good quality. And Prabhupada was rubbing, oh, these are very good, Prabhupada said, these are very good oils. So, and then he tried all of them. He said, oh, these are very good. And he was enjoying these oils. You know, I was so happy that he was enjoying these oils. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj came and said, oh, Prabhupada is getting too excited. You have to go now. So, Prabhupada has to take more rest. You better go. So I wasn't allowed to stay too long. So then I left. So next that evening, Prabhupada was actually, they'd carried Prabhupada up on his roof, and he was, you know, all the devotees were there. It was a big darshan. Kirtan was going on. And of course, I was not a guru, a GBC or a sannyasi. I was not normally in the amongst the leading devotees who were always very close with Prabhupada. So I thought, I will sit in the back, you know. Actually, there was not much choice. It was already full. You couldn't get close. But Prabhupada saw me sit in the back, and when he saw me come, he asked the servant, please bring those oils. So the servant went and brought the oils, and Prabhupada again started putting the oils, and he gave me a smile. So that one moment is the most important moment in my life, you know? Because I got Prabhupada's mercy. Just for a moment, I got mercy of Prabhupada. So that's such a powerful thing, that moment of mercy of the guru. That is the most valuable treasure. If you are searching all the universe, you know, I've been to so many places. All my life I've been traveling. I never stop traveling. I've been to so many places. I've seen so many things. I've enjoyed so many treasures of this universe. But that treasure, the day when I please my guru, nothing compares to that. That's every day inside my heart. The most important thing in my life, right, so far. Nothing else compares. So this really, you know, that dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotee. If you can get the mercy of the pure devotee, of your spiritual master, that you should be very eager. You should put aside any other consideration. because this thing is so valuable. Actually, to become free from contamination in this material world, very difficult. Very, very difficult to become completely pure. Because just by our nature, we're infected. The body is infected with this modes of nature. And this Kali Yuga is very intense now. Even in Prabhupada's time, it was not so bad as it is now. How can we become completely pure? It seems almost impossible in this modern age. It used to be, in India, quite easy to be a brahmachari. You know, everyone used to say, if you come to India, it used to be quite easy to maintain brahmachari life in India. Because all the ladies used to cover their head. And you never used to see ladies' hair in India. You never would see their hair. They never let down. It was always tied up. But now, it's not so easy in India now. The cat is out of the bag, they say. Like, the cat is out of the bag. It's a saying in English. You have a cat in the bag, but if the cat gets out of the bag, then you can't catch it. And so now the cat is out of the bag, and brahmachari life in India is also very hard now. I want to speak of Bombay. Bombay is a very advanced city. So it's very difficult to be completely pure. So we need this Kripa Siddha. There's Sadhana Siddha, there's Kripa Siddha, and there's Nitya Siddha. Different ways of attaining perfection. But we really need a bit of this Kripa. Sadhana alone, very difficult to become completely pure nowadays. You need some Kripa. You need some mercy from the pure devotee. That dust of the feet. If you can just get that dust from the feet of the pure devotee, and if you can just get the mercy, please your guru. So this you should be very intent to do. These are, if I look at my devotional life, this is the most important day for me. The day when Prabhupada was smiling on me. That's so powerful, it's like a jet rocket. It's like whoosh. It's so powerful, it's just like, now I'm still going just from that. I'm not doing anything important. I'm not a very good devotee. But just from that, I'm still going like a huge rocket. Once it goes out of the atmosphere, just a little bit of fuel, it keeps going and going. So just see the power. And so every devotee, you should make this your most important. And of course, Prabhupada, you could please Prabhupada most. Prabhupada wasn't always pleased. One time also, Prabhupada was angry with me. So they say, actually, that you get more mercy when the guru is angry with you also. That's another thing. Because at least he's paying attention to you. So sometimes you get more mercy when the guru is angry, but only if you're able to get forgiveness. Because Prabhupada said one time, If you make offense and he is angry, he says, well, if you make offense and I am angry and I don't forgive you, Krishna will forgive you. And then Prabhupada said, well, if Krishna doesn't forgive you, Radharani will forgive you. So we have so many shelters. We have Guru, we have Krishna, we have Radharani, we have Lord Chaitanya. And what if we can't approach Lord Chaitanya? Then we have Lord Nityananda. So as devotees, we're very lucky. We have. And then if you don't get the mercy of any of them, you can get the mercy of the devotee. Just like we see some persons who made offenses to Lord Chaitanya by getting the mercy of the devotee. And devotee is very merciful. Devotee is even more merciful than Krishna. So, of course, there's no time to tell the story why Prabhupada was. But one morning I was walking with Prabhupada, and mood was very quiet because I'd done a foolish thing. And anyway, but I'd done a program. I'd been preaching a program in Bareilly. And this morning I was walking alone with Prabhupada. morning walk. It was just the two of us. And we'd gone by car. So Prabhupada said, and I had done a program and it had been a failure. I had gone to make life members. So Prabhupada was asking me, but what did you do on the program anyway? So I said, Prabhupada, I wasn't able to make any life members. I didn't bring any collection. But we had put up a book table and we had done a program, but we didn't know it was also some Mayavadis were there and they were objecting to the book table. So we had a fight just to put up a book table. And in the end, because of the fight to put up the table, we were only able to put up the book table for about half an hour. And we didn't even sell many books. So I said, and Prabhupada was already not in a good mood. So I thought, you know, I was telling a story of failure. I said, Prabhupada, we didn't do anything. I said, only I was able to sell two magazines and one Srimad Bhagavatam. I said, the program was really a disaster. And Prabhupada said, you sold one book? I said, yes, Prabhupada, I would only sell one book. I couldn't make any life members. All we did was sold one book and some Back to Godheads. Prabhupada said, oh, you sold one book? That is very good. Suddenly, Prabhupada's mood changed. He became immediately happy because he heard that I'd sold one book. So this, I could see, you know, just a little endeavor is so pleasing to the spiritual master. We're not judged, you know, by what result we bring. We're judged by our intention. Krishna doesn't see what is your result. Krishna sees what are you trying to do? What is your intention? This is the most important thing. Oh, and that morning when I gave Prabhupada, I was always thinking my service was not so good because as the devotees who were distributing books, normally I wasn't distributing books. I'd seen that Prabhupada, you know, how pleased Prabhupada was by distributing books. So I thought I was unfortunate because my job was to bring the money to maintain the temple. So I was focusing, I was selling some books, but mostly I was focusing on making life member. And I was thinking, and you know, this collection is not going to Prabhupada. So usually I had to give the collection to the president. So on that morning when I saw Prabhupada and I gave him the oils, just as I was going, he said, oh, by the way, did you bring any money? Did you bring any Lakshmi? Well, of course, that money was going to go to the temple president for the temple, normally. But Prabhupada robbed me. Before I could get to the president, I was robbed by Prabhupada. He said, did you bring any Lakshmi? I said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. I bought, you know, something like 30,000-40,000 rupees, which in that time was a lot of money. And Prabhupada said, very good. We'll take that money and we'll use it for the gate. You know that gate? So that was also very nice to be robbed by Srila Prabhupada. That also was one of the most blissful days. Yeah? The day I was robbed by Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, this is good fortune. It's like it's saying, we're going through so many places in the universe. If you get the good fortune to associate with a pure devotee, that's not the result of normal sukriti. That is very special mercy. How it was that we got to be in that time and that place. That's very good fortune. So is there any question or comment?
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. You said you've been with Prabhupada so many times. You've been with Prabhupada so many times. So what was the most prominent quality which you got attracted and got, you know, while you also dedicated to Prabhupada? What was the most prominent quality you found in Prabhupada which you had, what you...
Yeah, that I was saying in 2 days ago when I gave a lecture. The preaching spirit, dedication to preaching, this was the most prominent quality in Prabhupada. And compassion, Prabhupada's mercy, his dedication to preaching for the well-being of others. This is what you picked up from Prabhupada. You got this fire of preaching. That's why, after associating with Prabhupada, I always try to be motivated by the same thing. Motivated by the desire to get Krishna consciousness to everybody. Sometimes you have to use a trick to get Krishna consciousness to everybody. It's not always the same in every place. You have to change according to the Desa Kalapatra. How people will get Krishna consciousness. Sometimes you have to change that. Sometimes we don't even preach. Sometimes we just give prasadam. Because you can't directly preach. Sometimes we just want to show dancing and singing and prasadam. You can't preach philosophy. But in any circumstance, this should be your main motivation. And the other thing I picked up from Prabhupada is very bold, big thinking. Prabhupada was very bold. Prabhupada was actually thinking of taking control of the earth, you know, getting the earth planet from the demons. And he was a very bold preacher. He was even talking about changing governments and so many things. He was a big thinker, big thinking. So this was the other thing I picked up from Prabhupada. This Magga, we call in Jyotish, it's called Magga. Means the king, you know. Prabhupada was not just like a humble sadhu. He was a special personality. Because in that one personality of Prabhupada, whole Vedic culture was exported. So in that personality of Prabhupada, you didn't just have the sadhu and the rishi, but you also had the raja. Prabhupada was simultaneously Raja Rishi. This you don't very often see this quality, because Krishna put every feature of the Vedic culture into Prabhupada so that he could take it to the West. So this was the other feature of Prabhupada, like a great king, you know. He was like a great king. Very, very brave and a big thinker. Prabhupada wanted us to make the whole world Krishna conscious. So we have to think how to do that, how to take Krishna, how to reach everybody. Not everybody will become a Brahman. Not everybody can move into the temple. Not everybody can follow four regulative principles. But still, they can become Krishna conscious. They can become attracted to Krishna, different levels. So these are the most important things. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Shri Radha.